a good and righteous man named Joseph asked for the body of Jesus. He wanted to prepare it for burial. Oh, this Joseph, he didn't agree to the poison and the plan and the plots against Jesus' life. But it seems there were people more powerful who trumped the day. Joseph was outnumbered. And so he took the body of Jesus and began to wrap it in linen. The women came now. They moved intentionally. They reached for oils and spices to prepare the body because the Sabbath was coming. And while they're preparing the body, the sun began its fade in the daily sky. And night sets, and Sabbath arrives. And the story stops. Everything will wait now. Everyone, everything stops for the Sabbath. The Gospel of Luke says so. Luke chapter 23 says, on the Sabbath day they rested. All the gospel writers talk about the Sabbath, but Luke is careful to tell us they rested. And in some translations it will say they rested in obedience, or they rested in faithfulness. There are no more details. It's as if everyone seems to know. Of course they rested. That's what happens when the Sabbath comes. You want to know about the rest of the story? I guess you'll have to wait for tomorrow. Now, hopefully some of you here today are not Seventh-day Adventists. Welcome to our community. If you're freshly, newly with us today, can I tell you a secret about Adventist Christians? Maybe this is a rumor you've already heard about Sabbath and Adventist Christians. Let me summarize it this way. A favorite experience long ago when we first moved to Loma Linda. I went in to order my food at the Taco Bell in Loma Linda. There was one in those days. And I ordered my burrito like all vegetarians do. I ordered them to hold the meat. I asked for a burrito, hold the meat, just the beans. The employee helping me, about 18, 19 years old, he started snapping his fingers. Oh, I know you. I know your kind. Yeah, I know you people who don't eat meat. I said, vegetarians. He said, no. There's more. You don't eat dairy. You don't eat eggs. You don't eat anything that tastes good. I said, vegans. He said, no, that's not it. Like, you don't do anything. There's like all this stuff. I know you're an Adventist. Yeah, I have some relatives like you. I've never really met them. They live in Nebraska. They don't do anything. Oh, the great thou shalt nots of the Seventh-day Adventist life. And it seems like the rumor is out that the Sabbath is the great day of prohibitions. Tell the truth, Adventists. But that's not the whole story. Even so, it's a part of the story we have to reconcile because Luke says, on the Sabbath day they rested. And I'm very interested in that aspect of our story this morning. On the Sabbath day they rest. Now, this for me, maybe it's appropriate. Jesus is truly, really dead. So good timing that he falls asleep when the Sabbath comes. Maybe he's just really, truly dead and can't do anything else about it, but something doesn't ring true for me. What the problem I have with the story stopping on the Sabbath is actually Jesus himself. Because when Jesus was alive, we know that Jesus moved around on the Sabbath. On the Sabbath, he picked grain to feed his hungry disciples. On the Sabbath, he put a withered hand back into working order. He did all of this knowing he was violating community rules. So there's something about Jesus' life that tells me, I don't know if on the Sabbath the story really stops. It doesn't make sense to me. The biggest problem I have with it is the life of Jesus. So while Jesus is sleeping and resting now, is nothing happening? I go to the scripture to the first time we read about the Sabbath. We heard about it last night, very early in the Bible story, Genesis chapter 2. Pastor Vaughn spoke these words last night, and the children were here creating. The first time we hear about the Sabbath is in creation. Genesis chapter 1 and 2 talks about it this way. God saw everything he had made, and indeed it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. The heavens and the earth were finished in all their multitudes. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that God had done and rested on the seventh day from all the work he had done. The storyteller tells us twice, God finished the work, God's done the work, it's over. It's not that creation was interrupted, friends. Creation was complete. And now God turns towards something new. On the seventh day, God begins two new activities. God turns his attention to blessing and hallowing. Blessing and hallowing. Oh, it seems that God on the first Sabbath day is also not sitting still. God's not taking a nap. God hasn't fallen asleep. God's not wandered off to get some fresh air. On the seventh day, God turns to two brand new activities. God blesses. Remember, God's already created all that is, but to bless it is now to say to what God's created, you will be alive. When God puts God's blessing on creation, it's to tell us to come alive, that we'll live with well-being. So around here at La Sierra, sometimes we say, be well, right? Be well. Why do we say that? Because to be well is the blessing of God from creation. On the Sabbath, God blesses everything God's created. And then one more action, God makes it holy, the Sabbath. Blesses the Sabbath, makes it holy. It's to come alive, and now it's to be holy. It's to be, well, it's to be marked with God's fingerprint. To be holy means you're attached to God. It's an extension of God. You can only be holy if you belong to God. God, on this seventh day, says, here's the Sabbath, be alive in it. Here's the Sabbath, it belongs to me. And all of you who move around in this seventh day, you belong to me. I am the creator. Ever since creation, every time the seventh day rolls around, we have an opportunity once again, all over again, to tell the truth, to confess who we belong to. When the Sabbath comes, we shout to all the competing powers of the world, you are not my boss. You do not own me. We say to our employer, you don't own me. We can say to our friends and family, you do not rule me, teenagers, young adults. This is good news. You can say. Nobody owns you and rules you. No political party, no cultural trend, nothing pulling us down, forcing us, shifting us. None of it owns us. On the seventh day, we say, God owns us. I have one sovereign, and it is God. So we ought not be surprised when we come to this Sabbath, the one between crucifixion and resurrection. We ought not be surprised when Jesus is resting on the Sabbath that he's up to something. Jesus comes into the world to live in solidarity with us, with the strange things that have been happening. Jesus stands with us in our strange chaos, and he blesses and makes holy. Jesus blesses and makes holy. In fact, he did pick grain on the Sabbath, fix a withered hand, take out the demons from a mind, put a woman upright who's been bent over 18 years, put sight back into blind eyes and working legs underneath a crippled man. And every time Jesus does this, he's saying, I bless you, I make you holy. I bless you, I make you holy. I bless you, I make you holy. And the problem with this is that when Jesus shouts to the world God's blessing, the world can't handle it. Turns out, to bless and make holy every single creature is dangerous and risky. It threatens the insiders and it threatens the outsiders. Jesus dies, friends, while blessing and making holy everything that already belongs to God. So this morning, wherever you wandered in from, whatever your life story is, you somehow found your way here this morning. I want to tell you, this morning, if you hear nothing else, hear this. There is a Sabbathness about your life. You belong to God. It is very easy to get into God's good graces and extremely difficult to get out. There's a Sabbathness. I'm going to use that word. It's a new word for me, but I rather like it. There's a Sabbathness to Jesus' death. This day between crucifixion and resurrection, there's a Sabbathness, the day that they murdered Jesus. There's this blessing and making holy, blessing and making holy. A dying body on a Friday, a risen body on Sunday morning. But friends, if we skip the middle of the story, we've missed the core of it all. It turns out the story doesn't stop on the Sabbath. It turns out the story crescendos on the Sabbath. Jesus is resting from the work Jesus did, but the message from God is loud. Creation belongs to God. On this day, the message is loud. God has not changed God's mind. God claims creation, blesses creation, makes creation holy all over again. On this day, God grabs us with a grip of grace and will not let go. On this day, God shouts to all the competing powers, and we saw them on display last night. God shouts in the silence. God shouts, "Get your hands off my creation. They belong to me." There's a Sabbathness about what's happening today. To the restlessness of the world, the great rest of God comes as a solution. God doesn't die in God's sleep. God doesn't have a heart attack. God's not in a car accident. God doesn't grow old with age. Jesus, with God, on this day, is resting while standing in solidarity with all of us. What can wash away all sin? Nothing but the love of Jesus. Silent Sabbath, we call it. May I say a word to those of us who have grown up with the Sabbath tradition, some of us here for whom the Sabbath feels like a passed down rocking chair, all worn and squeaky, its best days are over. Or some of us here for whom the Sabbath feels oppressive still with rules. We're not clean enough, dressed up enough. Our minds are not pure enough to come to the Sabbath. Or for some of us who've been ignoring and staying away from the Sabbath for a very long time because you're sure you don't belong. This morning, this afternoon, I want to say to all of you, if you're in this category, rethink the Sabbath. This afternoon, come while we do watch. There is a Sabbathness to our life that is pure and holy and good. If you missed it, I'm sad and I'm sorry. Let's try again. There's a Sabbathness to what's happening today. Many of you know in our church family here, I've mentioned before that I am adopted and that I don't know a whole lot about my birth family and that I ended up in a Seventh-day Adventist hospital, which is how I ended up in a Christian in the Seventh-day Adventist church. I know very little about my life, and And I don't really know when along the way this happened, the early years, but it happened once that we opened the calendar. I remember my mother telling me, you were born on the Sabbath. We picked you up one day from the hospital and we had you in church the next Sabbath. For as long as you've known, you've had a Sabbath. Some adult, however, along the way said to me, you were born on the Sabbath? Oh, you know why you were born on the Sabbath? So you would always know to whom you belong. Little girl, you are not lost in the world. You belong. Breathe deep today. Pause on the Sabbath. For this is the anniversary of God's greatest obligation, God's obligation to us.